If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Stuff.biz.
The Daily Show of 1512. Can we also say, is that a good year?
This is the good stuff. The right stuff.
Jewish apocalypse.
Just keep saying it's a good year every episode. Maybe we'll get like Goodyear sponsorship. We'll get advertisers. No.
I don't want to be held to their agenda.
The blimp agenda? Like the Goodyear?
Yeah.
The blimp and like the tires? I mean...
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, maybe I want to praise Firestone, and I don't want to be held to the Goodyear. The Goodyear. I don't want to be associated. You know, the Goodyear.
What about
brand.
What if you get like the Wop Grift, and you know, you're doing Pirelli? We don't rep Pirelli.
Pirelli is a Wop Grift. Literally is a Wop Grift. It's the most overpriced trash I've ever had on a car. Those tires fucking suck, man. It's like you spend a shitload of money and you got something that has no grip. It's loud. It's just junk. These are just shitty tires.
Shouldn't like the first thing that a tire has is grip? Like, how can you make a tire and it doesn't have grip?
How can it have no grip? I don't understand.
Pirellis are supposed to be on Ferraris and shit. Like, it's supposed to be a max performance street.
That's another
tire.
WAP grift. That's another WAP grift.
It's just WAP grifting as usual. I mean, it's the Italians are the most overrated people. It's like everything that they build is impractical, uncomfortable. Like, Italians don't understand how to make anything comfortable.
What, like Ferraris, Maseratis, it's like what?
Yeah.
Like,
shoes, what have you. It's Italian.
Yeah,
the suits, it's always,
it's true. They always cut like super.
Wait,
like,
don't girls love Italian shoes? Isn't that a thing? Or, I don't know.
The Italian shoes, and men are supposed to want to wear Italian suits.
Okay.
But like you can't. They're always like a size down. You know, yeah. American. They're not made for Americans.
Well, Americans are fat idiots. That's why. I'm like fat, short people now.
Right. See, the reason that in Italy they can sell those suits is because the economy's so bad, and
they're all starving.
That well,
they're all carb loading, yeah, and they're all.
Yeah.
Apparently, all the guys are like living at their mother's houses until they're 30, and they're like blowing each other because it's not gay. That's my understanding of Italy.
Yeah, it's true that they do have a thing where you can live with your parents and there's no stigma to that.
Well, there shouldn't be. Like, why should you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, there shouldn't.
Well, the problem that doesn't have the stigma is like the homosex stuff they do to each other.
That supposedly. I think is probably a vicious rumor.
Could be a Jewish rumor. But I don't know. I don't know where to go today.
Not to Italy.
Well, no, I mean,
there's nowhere to go. I'm actually going to Italy. I love it. I love Italy.
Hello and welcome to the free edition of the Daily Shoah on therightstuff.biz. If you're hearing this message, it's because you're not subscribed. And we need you to join our ranks and support our programming as we are 100% listener funded. There are no advertisers. There are no mega donors. There is just you, the listener, keeping us in business. So navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall. Where you can use your credit card, yes, credit card, for instant access with auto-recurring charges monthly, quarterly, every 6 months, or every year. Alternatively, we also offer cryptocurrency payments as well as money orders paid by mail. So thank you for listening. Enjoy the first half of the show on therightstuff.biz.
Italy is a fantastic place to go. There's so much stuff to look at. It's really cool. You don't have to buy a car or a tire or a suit or shoes to go and look at things.
I'm on a different. Okay, I bookmarked something, but I'm on the wrong. But I've my other Twitter account is unbanned now, so I can't find it.
All right, I guess I could sign back into my normal Twitter. Yeah. I really just don't want to go on Twitter though. So
all right, I guess I didn't bookmark something.
let me open up this browser and go. Let me see what happens if I go. Yeah, security verification. Okay, I'm human. Okay, I can continue. I am unbanned. So can I like a post? Yep, I like the post.
You like post? Did you like? He likes it. Hey, Mikey. Literally.
Yeah, dude. Please, people have taunted me with that my whole life.
Yeah. I guess I'm totally wrong. I thought I saw something cool to talk about, and I don't remember what it was because I didn't actually hang on to it. Isn't that good? I didn't reply to it. I didn't bookmark it. I did nothing. Or the fucking service glitched out on me, but I could have swore I had something cool in my saved Twitter stuff that I wanted to talk about today. So I guess the show's over. Let me just find the outro music. I'll hit that, and here we go. Sorry about that, everybody. My bookmark didn't actually get bookmarked. Well, there was more.
I don't know about your browser, but my browser, it's hard to actually like put in the bookmark. I don't know why they've moved like the bookmark this tab location.
No, I mean the Twitter bookmark where I want to look at this article this person's commenting on or make fun of the commentary they're doing. I can't remember, so it's that bookmark. Yeah. So I don't know. I had some new shit, and it's not there now. So I guess we could
do some reactions to Trump's speech last night, because apparently I didn't watch it.
I didn't watch that either. My understanding is that was a pitch for the SAVE Act because the Chinese are stealing our elections or something. I was like, so the one that you just won, did they steal that one? Like, what are you talking about?
Apparently. You know, at least I'm seeing on now that I'm back on Twitter, I'm seeing, and wokeness is tweeting out images of the Floyd riots, and they're saying, we now know China used CCP assets, and I can't do the three C's because only two, right? But CCP assets in the U.S. media and social media to incite this. And I'm assuming that that's some reaction to Trump's speech.
Just quit politics. Just stop. You are just peasants. And you're like, you're not good at shilling for the people you're trying to shill for, and you don't have the intellectual capacity to like not do it, and you just look stupid. That's just stupid.
It's and wokeness is just Jewish. Well, I'm pretty sure it's the same people that run.
Well, it's Jewish whiteness. It's Jewish white Christianity. Not conservatism. Sorry, wrong C word.
It's
just it's a nothing burger. It's a nothing, like, no one, this isn't representative of anyone. It's just fake. Like, that's not even worth arguing back against. Like, okay, yeah, China did the Floyd riots. That's what happened. The Floyd riots happened not because Jewish and liberal race stuff like works together to oppress you, white man. It's because you failed to stop the Chinese subversion of our. I was like, just shut up. Just don't even talk. Just don't do it. Like he's lying, the president. He's just making stuff up because he wants the SAVE Act to go through, and it probably will. And combined with the gerrymandering they've done, that they'll probably hang on to bitterly hang on to a small majority in Congress, and it won't matter.
Yeah, this is my take now. I don't know that they'll hang on to a majority, but I don't think they'll get blown out. And because I don't know that will ever happen again, that you'll have like blowouts, because I feel like the polarized nature of things, even people mad about war and stuff are not going to abstain or vote for the other party because they're so worried about the other party. But, I also want to just say very quickly that I always push back on the idea that calculations in terms of what we're going to do in the Iran war are based on any midterm calculations or anything, or care about that. That clearly has been shown that they don't care about the midterms, that the midterms are not, at the very least, they're like a very weak preference. They are not calculating their Iran war moves around. They're not scheduling them around midterms. Because so many people thought, okay, the MOU is just hands off. I saw this prediction everywhere, and I said it was bullshit and it was wrong, and I've been proven correct. Although, possibly more rapidly than I predicted, nonetheless, I said no. The midterms are not, and there's no war calculations around the midterms. The midterms are going to be. Yeah, yeah.
Losing the midterms would mean politically embarrassing things for the Trump administration and the Republican Party. Not the end of the world, but it's like if Congress goes Democrat, then like the administration, the party will be subjected to endless, like, pointless grandstanding hearings and investigations that go nowhere.
Yeah.
But you get you will get Democrat Trey Gowdy's will come out of that, and it'll just be an all around embarrassing thing people don't like. It might hamper his ability to be just basically just do all the insider trading he's doing just out in the open.
Right.
It might hamper that a little bit, but probably not much. So it's just nothing.
It won't hamper any of his ability to control.
There's no real domestic. There's no real domestic agenda that he's trying to do either that would be stopped. No.
Right. That was my other thing. It's like, what domestic agenda would be harmed by losing the midterms?
I've been saying that since he was inaugurated. What's the domestic agenda? There isn't one. It's just
right.
Yeah, it's just war. Yeah. And
the agenda content about Ukraine war at this. Well, the Ukraine war and the Iran war now, and they don't know what to do. Like they're panicking. They're hitting the panic button. They legitimately don't. They're not winning, and they don't know what to do. So yeah, I don't know what to say about it. You know, other than that seems like they are. Yeah.
I thought the MOU was to just not waste munitions for a while they get ready to do their January thing, because there's been a rumor about a January, you know, a ground invasion somewhere, some kind of ground operation with one of those islands or the coast there. So I just figured this was a way, the MOU was a way to just not have to shoot anything for a while because they have run out of so much stuff. But what it turns out is what they were really trying to do, they were really thought they could use the MOU to establish that Omani corridor through the strait, and that completely failed because Iran is just like, no, we're shooting at boats. Like, there's not different routes. There's one strait, and it's ours, and we're not going to let you send boats through it. And so they have to sort of take the position that like they're violating the MOU by shooting at ships. It's like, no, they're not. You're violating the MOU by trying to send ships through without their authority. You're just violating. So it's not going to work. And I don't know why they thought that was going to work. I guess maybe they thought. I think that Iran wouldn't hit industry stuff like that because the oil problem affects everybody, including them. But it's like, that's where you're wrong, kiddo. They want to win the conflict long term, not just
What they did was they had the Omanis and the Emiratis and the Qataris promise money or materials to Iran during the diplomatic period. So. Right. Apparently, the UAE said, we will replace any civilian airline. They were like, we'll replace, I think there's like 10 747s or 727s or something like that that were destroyed in the by the bombings. Of course, like us bombing civilian airlines, okay, that doesn't do anything to hamper Iran's warfighting ability. So just wasted bombs, really. But okay, you blew up their civilian airliners. All right. Cool. I mean, you know, I mean, I know that they did do that.
I mean, it makes life miserable for
for Iranians. It just makes things shitty.
Just another, but basically it's a war.
So I think it was like UAE or Qatar or Saudi or something like that promised 10 of these. And then other one, I think Qatar was saying, we'll unfreeze money that's like in our banks or something like that. It's like, why don't you already do that? And so they were trying to have they're having these Gulf countries extend these little favors to Iran in the hopes that when their ships with oil tried to pass through this corridor, Iran would be loath to fire on them. And that was just dead wrong.
Yeah, right.
They fucking fired on them and they sunk one of them. And it's really like all of them have gotten damaged at least. And one of them was sunk.
Right.
And there's video of it sinking. I mean, I don't know if it's all the way under, but that's basically sunk. It's like halfway under, you know, it's sunk. That shit went down. And so that's that. And now zero ships are using that route. The United States is actually word we've gotten. Is that they're very angry about this?
Yeah,
like Hegseth is from our secondary leak. Hegseth is freaking out about this.
Yep,
he's really angry, but they cannot cajole any of these ships to go through that anymore.
No.
I was surprised how long they were able to do it, because even after they hit three ships in one day and partially sunk one, they still got people to go through, and they got hit again. I think that was 2 days ago. And it was either yesterday or 2 days ago, but today there's nothing.
Nothing.
Nobody will do it. Go. Nobody will try it.
Why would you?
And because it's just suicide. Well, if you're a captain of a ship, it's not even like it's not even like you even care about the geopolitical considerations. You're like, I might die.
Mm-hmm.
My crew might die. Right. Like, people in my crew might die, or I might die. There have been some crew members killed in these strikes. So,
yeah,
I mean, and so people are just ignoring the U.S. The Navy is trying to control, and they're saying, like, we'll protect you. It's like, yeah, no.
No, you won't.
That's not, no, you won't. You can't, you won't.
You'll ride along.
No, they don't even do a fucking ride along. If they did a ride along, they would hit the Navy ships. But they don't even do a ride along. They just sit outside from like 200 kilometers away, which I'm not even sure how far that is. But they sit outside from 200 kilometers away and they're like, yeah, just come on through. We're watching. It's good. You're all good. Come on. You know, it's like they're not even escorting them.
Right.
Like, it's funny how which is, again, that fact alone. I would, if I were one of these ship captains, I'd be like, I'm not leaving until a U.S. ship is going to sail by my side in and out of the strait, because that way I'll know that the United States is confident that the Iranian weapons are no longer, have been suppressed, are no longer active, because they put their own ships in.
I think their escorts at one point was just like, they just put aircraft up there and say, we'll just fly around.
Yeah, they'll have there looking and stuff. But what are they going to do?
Choppers shooting at speedboats and shit was part of the plan.
They could shoot at drones and speedboats, but they started using actual cruise missiles. That you can't do anything about.
Right. So
too fast. So, yeah. Yeah, they got a number of different things. They have a number of different things they can do. And those also hit harder, so that's why the ship went down. I thought it was very funny. I was also looking at the munitions issue and the fact that, you know, we have this blockade, or not blockade. We have this sort of, well, China is not exporting rare earth minerals that could ever be used in any military or dual use facility. So they'll only export them for civilian use. But even so, like, they have just, it's basically effectively an export ban to the United States on these things. So they are trying to ramp up three companies in America to create production lines for these metals.
Right.
And they're claiming that they're going to have an end-to-end non-Chinese rare earth supply by January 1, 2027.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I just don't believe you. So one of the companies called Real Alloys, another one is U.S. Rare Earth, USA Rare Earth, another is American Resources Corp. Now, they have a bunch of money, but remember, like, just a couple days ago, there was this story out of Mesquite, Texas, where, like, there's a Mesquite, Texas plant that was charged with, had a contract to build artillery shells. And they weren't just building them. They were using, like, they were doing some, like, recycled materials thing to save on materials or something like that. And they don't even need any special, like, we can get whatever we need to build artillery shells. You don't need, like, I don't think, at least I could be wrong, but I don't think you need any special magnets or rare earth minerals for that. It's just metal, right? And yet they were supposed to produce 100,000.
Mm-hmm.
And they have 100,000 per month. And they have failed to produce any.
They haven't done any yet.
since October. Like, they came online in October 2025, and they have yet to produce any. They produce shells, but they don't pass like inspection. They're not good enough. Like, they're manufactured shoddily. But even so, there's only like 36,000 of them.
Mm-hmm.
So they've managed to make like 36,000 or 35,000 like shitty, like, unusable shells, when we're supposed to have 100,000 like combat ready that could be sent to Ukraine or could be sent wherever, you know, add it to our stockpile so we can try and keep up with Russia in terms of manufacture of these things. It's just funny. It's just like our defense procurement is fucked.
Yeah, it's corrupt. It's the $50,000 screwdriver. It used to be like a NASA thing, but it's a defense procurement thing. It's really funny.
Everybody, okay, so here we go. This is Task and Purpose, which is a military site. Texas factory costs nearly $500 million, but has produced zero artillery. A high-risk plan to use old machines to produce modern M795 artillery shells backfired, an Inspector General report found. The Army spent almost $500 million on a Texas ammunition factory to restock the military supply of 155mm artillery shells, but the facility has yet to produce a single round in 2 years.
That's really funny.
Oh, my God. That's even worse. It was 2 years. Pentagon Watchdog found the facility in Mesquite, Texas was brought online in, 2024, after rounds of rapid-fire contracting to speed up the Army's efforts to replenish artillery sent to Ukraine and cover increased training needs for U.S. forces. The Texas factory is supposed to be producing 30,000 105mm shells each month by October 25. According to a Department Defense Inspector General's report, this March had yet to deliver any. The IG reports that it did not expect to deliver any before September. Wow. So that just shows our defense procurement is just fucked.
Yeah. It's just funny that we have to be so stubborn about doing something anyway. Just like, it's just let it go.
Yeah.
Ditch. I mean, the easiest thing for America to do to restore sanity is just strike Israel instead. Just end Israel.
Right.
And end Israel right. and make deals with everyone.
We might have more weapons than we do.
And just like, it's like, just stop. It's like, you just stop doing this stuff. Like, you don't have to have these problems anymore. Yeah. You want to go out and win a war, win one against Israel. Everybody will probably line up to help you. Everybody like, all right,
everybody
good,
would
that.
Love it. People
yeah,
every, would love
every
it.
One of these Gulf Arabs, it was fuck. Yeah, let's do that. Let's get rid of them.
Yeah,
with world peace in a day. But,
yep.
But no, you got to keep stubbornly trying to press forward because that's what's required of you as an American who works for Israel. So we have to find a way. Like, even though I just don't know. It's like I know like Hegseth drinks a lot, so I just picture him like this is just banging your head against the wall. Like, all right. I saw from the secondary leak that like he sent everybody home and then called them back an hour later because something else was such a disaster. I can't remember exactly what it was because I just skimmed through these. But of course he did that. I believe that totally.
I believe it completely that they're having regularly having meltdowns and like yelling fits and such. But so you could say like if you wanted to be a Trump administration defender, you could be like, oh, but this Texas factory, this contract was acquired in 2024, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like, it literally does not matter. This shit is the same whether Biden or Trump. Like, stop being so, like, Trump always talking about, I rebuilt the military, I made it so huge. It's
he's just making stuff up. Well, yeah, he sent a lot of funding that way.
Just making things up. Like, sure, but the military has always had a huge budget. Like, Trump, like, as long as I've been alive, there's been a major, it's just spent more than anybody else in the world combined. So it's just like, yeah, it's funny.
I don't know. So there's like some kind of thing going around where the OSINT channels are claiming that the IRGC took out a bunch of Americans by hitting a base in Syria. The counter argument to that is like, this is supposedly a base that America abandoned 4 months ago. It's like, really? At the start of hostilities 4 months ago, they left? Like, all those special ops guys just left? Because it's a special ops...
Yeah, Al-Tanf base in Syria, like...
Yeah, like, we don't really acknowledge...
I believe they did it...
I don't think we acknowledge that that's one of our things, because it's a secret thing. Not secret, but...
I believe that we did it. Al-Tanf has been known about, and they did have people there, but I think that... I'm sure they evacuated regular personnel, but if special ops people are in there doing gay ops, like, they're not going to tell you, and you're not going to know. But the Iranians might know.
IRGC announces conducting a strike against what it believed to be a special operations center in the Al-Tanf military base, Syria, claiming to kill several U.S. soldiers and strike a radar system and several helicopters. However, this is irregular. If you're enjoying what you're hearing, please visit therightstuff.biz/paywall to sign up for a paid subscription and hear the other half of the show Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, as well as Mic Check on Thursday nights and Painovich and Boscovich on Tuesdays. therightstuff.biz/paywall because the U.S. has not publicly acknowledged permanent presence in Al-Tan for months now. Well, that's all you need to know. They weren't there then. Special ops?
Right, that means they're not there. Right? Yeah. It's a special operations center. They did evacuate regular personnel, but it's a special operations.
The IRGC so either struck a covert American station, I'm sorry, a covert American presence or a purely Syrian military base. What is it?
Well, either way, it's kind of a win-win, you know? Like, did you get American Special Forces or did you hit a Syrian base? I don't know. It doesn't care. It's the same thing.
I mean,
Yeah.
In response to the in response to the acts of aggression by the child killing U.S. Army fighters, the RGC Aerospace Force, in the 11th wave of Operation Nazar 2 under the blessed code name O Abba Abdullah Al Hussein AS and dedicated to the oppressed martyred soldiers of Bampur, Iran Shahar carried out a surprise attack on the enemy Special Operations Command Center in the Al Tanf area in Syria. In addition to destroying a radar system and several Special Operations helicopters, they sent large numbers of the criminal American forces to their deaths in retribution for the blood of the soldiers martyred the previous night in Iran Shahar. So that's from a statement being attributed to the RGC.
So yeah, I saw that. Yeah,
they generally don't lie. Oh, well, I should say that they don't lie. The only thing that could be, I mean, unless this is some kind of FUD that the OSINT channels are doing, but it's more likely that that just happened and Uncle C-Sam just will never.
I think it happened.
We'll say fact check. There are no reports of KIA. It's like, well, yeah, because you just didn't report them, and they're in that, like, families will be getting notified about training accidents, mishaps.
We were also told that the source also was worrying, bellyaching about possible KIA yesterday. Mm-hmm. It wasn't clear where, whether that was in Kuwait or whether that was in this other place. I don't know.
Yeah, because there's a big Kuwait strikes too, and Jordanian strikes or strikes in Jordan.
Dude, Kuwait is fucked. Mm-hmm. And they are hitting, like, they're basically blowing up every Halliburton facility in Kuwait, of which there was a lot. They keep hitting the same one. Like, there's like, they showed three. They're just, if looking at the satellite imagery and just following, what the Iranians are claiming, and looking at the satellite imagery, they are hitting places where U.S. military equipment or, military equipment for the Gulf states is just military equipment, missiles and stuff like that are stored. Whether interceptor missiles or offensive missiles or whatever, they claim they've blown up HIMARS launchers. They claim they hit some HIMARS launchers in storage. This is because they were shooting these missiles from the ground in these countries.
Yeah.
And I don't know. So what that's going to do is it's going to force them to use more air assets. But the American airstrikes and even the missile strikes have not been that intense. But yesterday, the Iranians were striking at the same rate that they were striking at during the war. So there's a mismatch, right? Because before, when they were doing that, they were under massive U.S., just absolutely massive bombardment from America. But we simply can't do that.
Right.
I'm telling you, the way we're acting in this, I mean, Trump just announced, he just said, at least according to the OSINT channels, he just said, oh, we're winning. We're going to win very soon. We hold the card. It's just,
he just
no
keeps
point
saying that. He keeps saying they have no way to defend themselves and this and that. It's like, well, clearly that's
and
not true. Unless
they
just
don't. Yeah. They are still afraid of overflying Iran, and they can use JDAMs for these coastal strikes, which is another reason they're doing that, is that because they, you can use a JDAM within about, 25 miles of the target. And if they fly over the Gulf, within 25 miles of the shore and fire and then fly back, then they can be relatively safe and then the thing will hit its target. But they can't anything deep inside Iran with JDAMs, which is what they would like to, because they have essentially infinite of these, because they're just bombs with guidance packages. Anything else, anytime they want to go deep into the interior of Iran, they have to use Tomahawk missiles. They have to use JASSMs or SM-2, SM-6. I think those are defense. Those are interceptors. Whatever.
I was reading another.
We got a bunch of different kinds, but yeah.
I was reading another piece where Israel is not taking part in strikes on Iran right now, so it's not as, its air defense isn't as suppressed as it would be. Like, there's just, I don't know what that's all about, that Israel's just sitting back. Yeah. And, well, they're not sitting back, they're doing shit in Lebanon and whatnot, but also,
they're doing very little, though.
Yeah.
I know that the Lebanese are still rightly complaining. They are doing more in Gaza, actually.
Yeah,
they've been hitting Gaza more, which is that really sucks. There's really nothing anyone can do about that, unless Israel is destroyed, which hopefully it will be soon. But the the Lebanese thing, here's the thing that the Jews are doing in Lebanon. This is so fucking annoying. It's so Jewish too.
Mm-hmm.
So spots, they claim like, all right, we will evacuate places. Like, we will pull out and evacuate places. Mm-hmm. And it's true. They actually have kind of pulled back to what they think are more defensible areas and such in southern Lebanon. But they're like, but when we do that, we expect the Lebanese army to go in and make sure there's no Hezbollah infrastructure or people or whatever there.
Sure.
And then we get to go back in and inspect to see if they've done a good job. And so they're basically saying, all right, so they're pulling out of places. So they've claimed now pull out of places that they never occupied to make it so that now the Lebanese army has to go in there and inspect and then and clear it. The Lebanese army has to go in and clear it of Hezbollah, and then they can then go and occupy it. It's not going to work because everybody sees through it, and the Lebanese army isn't going to fight Hezbollah. They have not, as of yet, fought Hezbollah. Far more Lebanese army soldiers have been killed by Israel than anything mm-hmm. else over the years, and even this year. And so they're sort of doing the bit where they're like, yeah, we'll like move in to places where the IDF moves out, or we'll take up posts in the south. But they are not going to fight Hezbollah. And yeah, it's just Israel just eventually needs to just be forced out of there. Because right now they're not really bombing it that much. They're not doing that many airstrikes that I know of. It's been relatively quiet from my perspective. I understand that they might still be doing stuff, but I have not really heard much about it. And I think they are worried about Iranian retaliation, because the Iranians did say, you know, we will strike northern yeah. Israel if they strike in Lebanon. So I think they have been restraining what they're doing to not provoke Iranian strikes. And the Iranians have not been striking Israel because they don't want, you know, right now they don't need Israel also jumping in the air war against them.
It also seems like they're depleting America of places to launch from should they start striking Israel, because that's the end game of all this. It's going to be like,
yeah,
bring Palestine.
Getting America out. Yeah.
So if you get America where it can't help, then you can just hit Israel at will, and it has to rely on its own defenses right. at some point, or just its own defenses plus a very like limited version of what America used to have in there for defenses. That's just a decent plan. That's why I kind of get annoyed. You know, I see a lot of people that are like, "Why aren't they hitting Israel?" It's like, well, because they don't need to yet. Like they can save that. They're playing a long game here, you know.
Yeah, they're playing a much longer game. Because you got to think, if you're in charge of this, right, you got to think months ahead. You can't just think like what would be a spectacular thing to do today, right? That's how America thinks,
right?
And that's why we're losing, right? Like
How can we put on a display of beating up a baby so all of our people cheer?
You know? Yeah.
Iran's
but it's not really
baby.
Working.
No, it's not working. So, like Iran's not a baby. You're not really beating it up. You're just lying about it. And people in America, like right wingers, are so interested in beating up babies that they're willing to like lie to themselves about beating up a baby. Like, yeah, Hegseth and Trump just told me that this baby, we're beating it up so bad.
Yeah.
And I don't know why it won't negotiate and make a deal, because we're beating this baby up so bad, you know.
Well, because you're not, that's why. And so, you know, it's just like, it's clear that they're not really doing much to hurt Iran, and that Iran actually is degrading our ability because we are not striking that much. Now, they could decide to have a massive, spectacular strike, and then everybody would be like, oh, see, Mike, look at that. I'd be like, okay, that's fine, but how much did we deplete our ability to do that again? Like, you know, how many things are we using in these things? I know that they're husbanding their resources. I know that, and the Iranians are destroying some of it too.
Because they're gay.
You know, like we're just whatever. Gay. If they started to try and rebuild and reoccupy in, you know, Bahrain and Kuwait and Qatar. You know, Qatar also got bombed for the first time yesterday, where they had left them alone for a little while. You know, it's funny because they did try and create like these diplomatic overtures from these countries to keep them from to keep the Iranians from hitting them. And it's like, yeah, but as soon as you let them, as soon as you let America attack Iran from your, they're just going to hit you. They don't care about, and they'll be like, yeah, what about that diplomatic overture? So how about where are those 747s? We're still waiting on those. Even after we bombed your country. Yeah, because like, fuck you. Like, you just, no one's getting away. They keep trying to get away with shit and they're just not getting away with it. Like, that's what I think Trump is so mad about. I mean, I know he's mad about it. I know Hegseth is mad about it. It's like, your tricks aren't working. Your bullshit isn't working. You're trying to get away with stuff and you're not getting away with it. And that's how you need, in order to pretend that they have any progress in this war, you need to get away with things. You need to get away with tricks.
Yeah.
And all you have to do is say no. The Iranians are showing the whole world, even the Russians. They're showing the Russians how much of a better way to deal with Zog than what they've been doing. Like, just don't let them ever get away with anything.
Mm-hmm.
Just always say no.
Ask about Zionism.
And ask about Zionism in Israel. So they don't need to ask, though. They already know about it.
Yeah, they already know.
They don't need to ask. They already know.
Oh, boy. Yeah, Iran keeps, I mean, they keep sending these statements out that, like, any hit on this is going to create a response that's unprecedented. And they keep delivering on that. The last I saw, were they targeting the bridge between, what is it, Saudi Arabia?
Yeah.
And Bahrain?
Yeah.
I mean,
the King Fahd, the bridge?
Yeah.
They hit it. I don't know how the damage is because we are not seeing it, so they could be either maybe they didn't totally destroy it or they're just not showing it.
Yeah.
Like, but that is a very long bridge that is the only connection with Bahrain to the Saudi mainland. And it's just, if that's blown up, I mean, they could fix it, but that's an engineering undertaking, take a while.
Yep.
And that'll also cut off the ability of Saudi to move troops into Bahrain.
Right.
Make a popular uprising in Bahrain much easier.
Right, actually. And this was sort of in response. I think the Epstein coalition has been hitting the bridges that feed the mainland to, was it Keshem Island or the other one, the one that starts with a K? I can't remember.
Keshem Island is the main island. I don't think they hit bridges. They might have hit bridges to Keshem.
Not Karg.
Island.
Yeah, they didn't hit bridges. No, not bridges to Karg. I was thinking of Karg, and it's not that one. I don't think.
They hit bridges to Bandar Abbas, which is a city on the mainland, but it's on the coast. It's right. This is a city on the coast, right facing Keshem Island. So there's like a.
Okay,
if you go look at Keshem Island, the big city on the mainland coast there is Bandar Abbas, and that's like a major city in Iran. And they hit like some bridges and railway things that serve. That are like arteries connecting that to other parts of Iran because there is waterways and such down there.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, in an attempt to cut it off, and I'm like, so is this what are you shaping for an invasion? Like, I would not. I mean, I cannot imagine the shit show of America trying to occupy. But Bandar, like Keshem Island, much less like Bandar Abbas. So you can't, you couldn't occupy Bandar Abbas.
I await such an attempt with glee. I just want to see.
I don't know, man.
I want to see that.
I think it's going to happen too, but there's also the rumor that it's going to start up coming in from the Kurdish area.
Oh, that as well, yeah.
The Iranians have their forces deployed up there. They've got special forces deployed up on the Iraqi Kurdistan border, and they have been hitting Iraqi Kurdistan nonstop. Mm-hmm. Like even during all the negotiations, they're still just hitting Kurds.
Yeah,
because like no one's going to get mad about it,
right?
I guess the U.S. could complain, but they're like, this doesn't have anything to do with you.
Or does it? Or does it? Does it have something to do with
it
you?
It does.
Uncle C-Sam?
It does.
Care to chime in? Oh, okay.
It does. So. But yeah. And then people were saying like, oh, Trump complaining about the Kurds, like getting all those weapons and then not doing anything. Like that might be false. Maybe that they're going to do something. I'm like, they're not. I don't think they're going to do anything. And, you know, they've been trying to provoke something, or maybe U.S. Special Forces would go in with Kurds in that region. I don't know, but it's like, that shit is not going to work. That shit is not going to work. There's no, like, the problem I think they have is that they want to do it. I believe that they want to do it, and I believe that Trump has continually asked the Pentagon and the military for it, and every time they sit down and they tell him, here's all the issues with that. And then he's like, fuck! You know, like, but then he's like, tells them, like, you got to figure it out. You got to figure something out. Just make something happen. Like, do something. Make something happen. And, you know, I don't know. I have no idea.
Okay, those are
I think that they will try it. I don't know when, and I don't know where. I don't think it will be Cog Island, though, that's for sure. And, yeah, they might... I think if anything, if anything, America will make a play for the Strait of Hormuz. And that would require, though, us to control not just Kesham Island...
Yeah.
But also all those other islands and the entire coast and in Bandar Abbas, which is a major city.
It's a nice Christmas list. Incredibly it's a nice wish list you've got
difficult
there
to
yourself,
occupy.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Just... I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you do it with like a few, like even 100,000 troops, you would not be enough to do that. Would not be enough to occupy that. And I don't know that we have 100,000 combat ready. And we got the those MEUs in there, but what do you got? You got what, 3,000 Marines total? You got two MEUs. You got 3,000 total that can land. That's not gonna. That's not. You can't occupy shit with that. And these are like rapid. These are rapid moving forces. These are not armored. These are light infantry, so they're not armored. They don't have tanks. They don't have APCs and shit. So what are you gonna? And then you got to supply them. And what are you gonna do if people get injured? Like what? Ugh. How are you gonna evacuate wounded? How are you gonna supply it? What's your logistics chain?
Wounded?
You
no
know?
Way. We're just gonna rip through them. No one's gonna get wounded. What, are you crazy? All right.
Yeah,
so
but, I mean,
fucking like OBS is doing this bullshit again. I want to watch this Rubio clip. I'm gonna try to close and reopen these browser windows of mine. Maybe that'll jolt it awake. Let's see if I can do that. X2. Let's go to my profile. I just bookmarked it, and it's not there. This is wonderful. So.
What do you got?
Nothing. Right. I told you I'm trying to cajole this thing awake.
Okay. So, wow. There's some other, okay. I mean, so what is Rubio talking about in this clip? All right,
why did you suddenly stop talking?
Because I don't know what to talk about.
When does that ever happen?
Because you're talking about this Rubio clip. If you
I don't have the Rubio. I just don't have the Rubio clip. Sitting quietly, waiting for me to forget it. It's like the exact... Hi, hope you're enjoying the show. TheRightStuff.biz/paywall. Subscribe and hear the rest of it. You're only getting half the show. We take credit cards, cryptocurrency, and money orders by mail. Wrong answer. If I had something to say, you would be the fire hose. It wouldn't stop talking. But once I tell you, oh, I have something, but there's a technical difficulty. Oh, all right.
Oh, my God, we did it. It took us how many years to achieve this outcome?
Well, I'm not trying to get it.
If I knew what this clip was about, I could
have
the
clip. I just told you I'm going to talk about something else until I figure it out. Holy shit.
All right.
Let me get some keys to jingle. Ooh. I've discovered his weakness.
Well, yeah, the weakness is saying you have a piece of content queued up,
and it didn't
and
work.
I'm going to wait
know,
to watch
I
the content.
I know.
So
did
I can then
distract
comment
me for
on
a second? It's like, wait, Marco Rubio did what exactly? Like he's always
I
doing
don't,
something.
I don't,
what,
it's what? Just not.
But what is he doing now?
It's like, just not there. It was just being. He's basically wish casting for like outcomes from the war that aren't going to happen.
We're going to be there, yeah.
But I want to watch it.
Hmm. Yeah, I want to watch it too.
And now it's gone. I bookmarked it and it's fucking gone. I just it's also like obvious won't ingest it. Since we're doing a video show instead of a podcast, that's a huge yeah. So there's that.
There it is.
Well now but now Rubio's gone. Rubio's gone. Hmm. He's gone. I bookmarked him, but he's gone.
What if he was actually gone though? I mean
well, really that would notice. Be the best. That would be ideal. Imagine he's actually gone.
He's just left
gone.
This earthly plane. He's not here anymore.
I thought I saw him for a second, but then I was like, oh no, that's Fuentes.
Huh.
There he is. There's Rubio.
There's Rubio. There's a bunch of Rubio clips
there. Yeah, we got a bunch of Rubio things here. What's going on?
I don't know. It's really funny how, like, the U.S. military, the way it actually works is this is a thing that you want to threaten countries with, but you never want to actually use it. Like, our entire foreign policy over the last few decades been like, once you deploy it, then suddenly it doesn't work out so good.
Once people realize, it used to work pretty well, but now, particularly with something like Iran.
All right, I believe I have it now. Let's hope it's working. It's at half-mast volume.
I think it's a real test for the UN.
Okay, turn it all the way up, and it's still too quiet. I don't understand why anything works. Let's try that again.
I think it's a real test for the UN, right? As a function, as something that functions, that can solve global problems. What is the purpose of the UN? The UN was supposed to be a place where you could peacefully resolve global conflict. Right now, you have a country who is unlawfully, criminally, and illegally taking possession of an international waterway and blowing up commercial vessels and putting mines in the water.
Why'd they do that? Wasn't it not like that back in January?
I don't know if people appreciate like how outrageous this is, how unacceptable it is that any country would fire and try to sink commercial vessels or put mines in the water. Both of these things are illegal. And so we're going to take it to the UN.
I thought you don't want to be constrained by legality, though.
But have you ever considered how absolutely outrageous it is that you just attacked Iran, that you assassinated their leadership while pretending to negotiate? The negotiations, of course, themselves being outrageous demands being placed on a sovereign country that represents zero threat to the United States, that you nonetheless still have been just engaging them in these fake negotiations for years.
Also,
all under the threat.
Well, the current president, he threw out the deal that they had with the UN. It was basically about non-proliferation. Like, you had in place what you state your goal is. There not being a nuclear Iran. Is that not actually the goal? Because this president that you work for, Mr. Rubio, he threw that deal away saying it wasn't good enough. How long ago was that? And so that's what this is about now. And now you've tried to take action militarily to try to get back to this goal, and it's made matters worse.
Yeah. His talking point on that is that, like, that was a pathway to a nuclear weapon, not a pathway, like, not something blocking Iran from having a nuclear weapon. But the thing is, that doesn't make any sense, because when you left, the worst was, like, the United States withdrew from it, but then because other countries in the UN were like, sign on, they were still expecting the Iranians to honor it.
Right.
I mean, that was ridiculous. They did for a little while.
Right.
But it's like, but that fundamentally doesn't make sense, because it wasn't a pathway to a nuclear weapon. It was actually, they had all kinds of inspections going on and like IAEA people in there and such. And as it turns out, they also still want to get the IAEA back in, because they know that the Iranians would never accept some kind of inspector from someplace else. But I don't think they'll even allow IAEA in again, because they were spies.
Right, they've been proven to be spies.
And they were like basically informing, and I'm pretty sure that the death of many of the... That's the thing. How outrageous is it that you're assassinating scientists? How outrageous is that, Marco Rubio?
Is that against the law? What law?
Yeah, one thing, you could even, like, the Soleimani thing was outrageous.
Yep.
Because, one, not only was that, like, not at war with Iran, but we were, that was a diplomatic visit to Iraq, which is supposedly our ally, and an ally of Iran at the time, supposedly. And, like, he was there visiting diplomatically, and you killed him there, so that's also a fucking insult to your supposed ally. And he had been helping us. They were helping us against ISIS, or we were pretending we wanted to fight ISIS. We didn't really. We were funding and arming ISIS, but because the American people, like, wouldn't have understood things. The propaganda was that we're against ISIS, but it's like, we're not against ISIS. We have always been pro-ISIS. We've always tried to help ISIS. And now the guy who was affiliated with ISIS but then formed his own splinter faction is now the president, so-called president of Syria, who's like Trump's best buddy. Yeah. Did you see him at the NATO summit?
We respect ISIS in this house.
They sent al-Shara to the NATO summit, and he just sat there like a dummy, like while Trump spoke to these, and I know it because he doesn't speak English. I wonder if he had a little translator thing in his ear or not. I don't know, but he just sat there. He's like nodding. Like, what the fuck? Like, what kind of puppet, what kind of pet are you? Like, it's wild, right? This guy even said he was, this guy said.
The thing with this, like, American decline is I wish that we could just get to the point where Marco Rubio would get up there instead of, like, trying to make some sort of hypocritical appeal to, like, international law. He'd just get up there and, like, shake his fist and be like, we're going to crush the other Iranians. Like, talk like Megatron or something. Like, just drop all these pretenses. Just talk like a Hollywood villain. Like, just ham it up. Just ham
that's what
that
Trump
shit
does.
Up.
That's what Trump does.
Yeah.
Trump never talks about international law.
Yeah, exactly.
He only ever talks about like destroying civilization and shit like that. Like he's just gone full. But then he's like, but that's smart because that brings them to the table. I'm like, I don't think that brought them to the table. It's like what table? Where's the table?
It's insane. It's all insane. Yeah. I thought it was really funny that I guess there was something going around where Canada. There was some kind of poll. It was like Canadians increasingly view China more sympathetically than they do the United States. Yeah, I'm like, well, I understand. I mean, you got two countries here. One of them has threatened to invade you, and it wasn't China. United States. United States is the fucking like rogue cannon here. I mean, if you think about it, like having the United States on your border, that's got to be like faintly terrifying. Like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
What are they going to do next?
Right.
They might do something.
We might, but we use a lot of we use Canada for a lot of stuff. I didn't know this, but apparently in Canada, I learned this yesterday. Because we produce like the stuff that we get out of like the shale fields, the oil that we get out of shale fields,
yeah,
is like real light, very very light. It's almost even gasoline already. And so it doesn't need much refining. So we send that up to Canada and they mix it with what's called bitumen, which is like a real dense, heavy crude mixture.
So dense.
And then we import it back into the US to refine that. Because our refineries are made to refine like high sulfur and mineral content oil. We don't have many refineries for very pure oil, even though we produce what we drill or what we squeeze out of shale fields in America,
right?
Is very sweet. Yeah.
So of course we're not set up to refine that. Why would we?
Sweet and crude is a bit, that itself is a bit of a, shall we say, crude delineation. Yeah. There's like probably hundreds of different grades and then the refineries can see what's in this particular batch of oil. What products can we refine out of that? And then secondary products, what markets can we sell those on? Right. Now this guy was making a point, very good point. This is a very good point that was made on Mario Offal's show yesterday, which is that the world supply of sulfur largely comes from oil refineries as a secondary byproduct of the refining process, because some heavy crude is even up to like 4% sulfur by weight. And so you get a lot of sulfur when you refine oil. And sulfur is needed in a lot of industrial processes that use sulfuric acid, among other things. But sulfur is an in-demand thing. But he was like, but there's not really much of a paper sulfur market. So there's not much market exploitation of it, right? Like oil is obviously an obvious thing. So there's a paper market for oil. But sulfur, it's kind of like that's sort of like a B2B sales thing, right? Like you know, that's not something the public has much of an eye into, is sulfur production and where it's going. But lots of produced by oil refineries, and it is sent out to chemical companies or whatever other customers for whatever their industrial applications are. And the price of sulfur has exploded 300%,
right?
This year in 2026. So he's saying, given that this is a non played with market,
yeah,
that if there was no paper oil market, this is what we could expect the oil price to look like. It would be 300% up,
right?
So yeah, so sulfur is very expensive.
There's just another like externality that Americans just don't know about. So they don't think about it. No one talks about it, so it doesn't penetrate
the sulfur trade. Yeah.
You want to talk about an official narrative that's all lies. It's like talking about how this war is going well and we're controlling the strait and everything's fine. We're, you know, behind the scenes are manipulating the markets. So they feel like they have to. Just sulfur is just not one of them. They feel they need to manipulate. So it's just not. It's just responding as a
rule. There's not been any previous activity set in on, like, there's no paper market for sulfur, right? It's just a an actual market for buyers and sellers. So, you know,
I mean, the other thing is, like, you got a massive drought this year. So it makes me rather curious what's going to happen with U.S. agriculture in general on top of that.
Oh, yeah, it's fucked. Yes. Because apparently also some of the stuff, you know, I don't know. But...
There it is. Yeah, wheat production hits decades long low. Yeah, I'm not surprised.
Not to mention, like, while the U.S., the funny thing is that the U.S. could be insulated from all of this because we've still produced like a ton. We could produce all of these things ourselves. Mm-hmm. Every single thing we have the ability to produce it here. Even the rare earth thing, we have the ability to produce it. We just didn't because relying on globalism was just,
look, we're just going to need so more long. Immigrants. Right. Okay. We need more immigrants then send them. Right. We can't be supporting people.
Is that really true to say that we could do this given that the situation's persisted for so long? We may not even have the human capital or technology to do it anymore.
Right. Could be that far gone. That was sort of shown in the fact that we can't even make an artillery shell plant.
Yeah.
And have that work. Like the fact that that didn't work, and that's not a complicated thing to manufacture, right? Like those are not missiles with like radars and sensors in them and shit. Like, that's
in terms of human capital, like we ate the seed corn decades ago.
Yeah.
We really did.
Yeah. Yeah. In terms of physical capital too.
Yeah.
That seed corn has long been gone. But now the human capital seed corn is also they thought they had it because they were only counting heads because they considered, you know, people fungible units, but they're not.
They're not. Not right. At all fungible units. And the other thing too is, like, because I saw this like discussion about, I think it was actually in the games industry, about doing manufacturing in the United States for various products. And it's like, well, we don't even have like the equipment to do that. And we'd have to get the equipment from, you know, one of these Asian countries that's currently producing that stuff. So this is such a vastly embedded problem. It's not solvable overnight.
Yep. We used to be the biggest manufacturer in the world.
It took generations to get here, and it would take generations to get back.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's why I just don't buy these Pentagon claims that we're going to have a rare earth supply chain by January 1, 2027.
No.
It's ridiculous. It's absurd.
It's insane.
I mean, they've got a bunch of contracts. They're also, we are relying on other countries for that. We are relying on Canada, Australia, and South Korea, among others, for this supply chain. Now, those are countries that we can say are never going to not be, you know, in our pocket, but nonetheless, it's
just
like
supplying rare earth stuff to the United States. I would just strangle that. I'd be like, nah, I don't. I think you've had enough. Yeah. I need to cut you off. I'm kicking you out of the bar. It's time to go home. No more rare earth for you.
You just say no,
you're drunk, dude.
It. It's like if you know it's also if like, you're part of the international community, you know what it's for. It's for America's ability to make war, and it could make more on you at any point that decides it wants to do that. So deny them the rare earth. That's what it's all it's for.
Like, yeah,
I don't understand why any foreign country would want to enter into that kind of business with the United States. Because like as like the U.S. hegemony is basically just is eroding. It's I'm talking about crack spreads. I'm talking about cracks, like the cracks in the edifice of the lone superpower, you know, single pole world. It's America. It's like, why would you help it try to recover? I guess the only unless you were just some kind of pure vassal that has no ability to say no, I could see that. But
yeah.
So I got this article from PR Newswire Canada. It says, for the first time, commercial critical mineral processing is being integrated directly into America's national security infrastructure. The tool, I don't know, it's TOOELE. I'm just going to say tool. The Thule platform. is expected to support the U.S. Army, the Defense Logistics Agency, the Department of Energy, and NASA, placing Real Alloys, that's one of these companies, at the center of one of the country's most strategically important industrial buildouts. Commercial development is targeted to begin in 2027, with initial operating capability expected no later than 2028. Okay, so, all right, I mean, that urgent time frame is scheduled to coincide with the January 1, 2027 federal procurement ban on Chinese rare earth materials used in American defense systems. I think the Chinese have already banned it, though, haven't they?
Okay, so then there's this article from May 13th, 2026. The Pentagon has less than 8 months to break China's rare earth grip. China moved this week to take tighter control of its rare earths amid the escalating tit-for-tat battle with Washington over everything from tariffs and semiconductor warfare to pressure over Iran and Hormuz. At the same time, an ominous Pentagon deadline looms large, the entire American defense system to be banned from using... Okay, so we are banning ourselves from using any Chinese origin rare earth materials beginning in January 2027. Yeah, well, the Chinese banned us.
Yeah, you can't fire us, we quit.
Getting it in 2024. Right. It's literally you can't fire me, I quit. It literally is that. It's literally than that. And they're saying with fewer than 8 months on the clock. Bro, no, the clock has been ticking. The clock ran out 2 years ago. Like the Chinese did this in 2024. That's what I was saying. I was kind of like, wait, are the Chinese not starting this ban until that would be dumb on their part, because why? Why sell America anything that allows itself to rebuild any of their defense systems, so-called defense systems? I know, that's just a turn of phrase. Allows it to rebuild any of our systems, our military systems. Why would you do that? And it turns out they're not. Yeah, when they realized how actually serious America was about, like, their fucking bullshit about China, they stopped. I mean, it's funny. Maybe you shouldn't have had, you know, every talking head and pundit in the country just like shitting on China on the news like every fucking day, because that probably mean when you still rely on them for critical components. Yeah. Real Allies operates the only heavy rare earth metallization platform in North America and is scaling its market-leading platform by building the largest heavy rare earth metallization facility outside of China. Purpose engineered to produce defense grade dysprosium and terbium at commercial scale with a zero adversary nexus supply chain. Yeah, I'll believe it when I see it. Here's another problem. This country's based in Ohio. This company's based in Ohio. That's another issue.
Yeah, it's not good.
That's you're employing Haitians? Yeah, Haitians.
Go to the rightstuff.biz/paywall. For your subscription today.
Haitians. This company's based in hell. What'd you say? Hades?
Yeah. The Euclid, Ohio company is building commercial scale heavy rare earth metallization facility. I just don't, given everything about, I don't believe them. I don't believe it's going to take them. I don't believe they can have this up and running by January.
Nah.
You're just fucked. We've been out of luck for a couple years now, and that's another reason. Like Trump went in and he was like demanding all these Pentagon contractors, speed up and send them to sell more. And they're like,
this tells me that before this Trump administration, like just our military industrial and intelligence combo, everything involved from business to the Pentagon itself, just like knew how outlandish this campaign against Iran was, so they weren't even bothering to be prepared for it. Because, like, who the hell would actually pull the trigger on such a dumb thing? I mean, because that's what it seems like. It's like, you ask the question, why weren't you more prepared for this before going in? Like, all these shortages and all these production shortfalls, whatnot, were predictable. Why wasn't more done? It's like, well, because nobody was just ever dumb enough to do this. And
right. It's also... Yeah. Funny, because one of the excuses they always use is like, if we run out of these things, then we will never have them for like a conflict with China. I'm like, you don't have them for a conflict with Iran.
Right. Don't have them. I mean,
like, what are you talking about? Like, how is it that these would be usable in a conflict against China if they're useless against Iran?
Yeah.
China's a much bigger and richer country than Iran. Like, what are you going to do? Like, we'll just burn through them faster and more uselessly against China than, like,
what even is the conflict with China supposed to be? Like,
there isn't a conflict. There shouldn't be a conflict with China. There never had to be one.
Trying to push back the border of where they say their national interest ends, like in the sea. Like, I just, it's what, that's none of my
business. Well, I think it's, yeah, it's China actually not just being a bunch of gooks that manufacture stuff for us and pressing their advantage on the world market as the
or just being a regional power that, like, sorry,
countries well, get to be regional
more
powers,
than that, more than even than regional. That, like yeah. they've been reaching into the Middle yeah. East. That's, I think, one of the major impetuses is the China trying to and they've also been sort of Middle East has been a, as shall we say, like, you know, a basket case region for years because Israel always fucks up everything.
Yeah, it's Israel. Yeah.
And so they're always divided against themselves because Israel's always going in and creating these divisions and stoking up the wars. And the Iraq war fucked everything up and created just civil wars and terrorism and everything mm-hmm. throughout the whole region. And Israel has done that on its own borders. So every state around Israel is a failed state, which is that's Israel's national security policy. Right, that's right. That's their policy. But the Iranians, the Chinese come in like, this is stupid. Why don't you guys stop doing this and instead develop your countries and we'll help you? We'll help you with infrastructure and logistics and stuff like that, and we can all make money together. And so some of the Arabs are like, that sounds good. And so they have projects that actually require yeah. Iranian-Saudi cooperation, which is why they got the Iranian-Saudis to do, like, reestablish diplomatic relations a couple of years ago, which I remember was a very big deal, and America was not happy about it. But, you know, which is another reason that this Iran war became critical, because China was also just, because Iran doesn't need to ask anybody's permission for that. Like, if they're working with China, they're just working with China. This is another reason why Pakistan, which you wouldn't think was so friendly to Iran and hasn't in the past been, is now super friendly to Iran, because China has a ton of projects that are running through both of the countries and that they've both agreed yeah. on that they'll both make money from. And they were supposed to include Saudi in a lot of those projects, but I think Saudi is like so tied to the U.S. Like they're
Pakistan. Pakistan just chimed in. They're upset now that like some other things are being hit. Some other bits of infrastructure are being hit by Iran. I don't remember if it was the Baba Mandab. There's some ports that Pakistan's not going to be able to access now because of the new rules with the blockades and the closure of the strait. And it's like it's so pathetic, because like the nature of their objection is like, Iran, can you please stop? And it's like, no, why don't you get on the good side? Make America stop. You know?
Yeah.
It's very annoying to listen to these countries like trying to like, hey, wait a second. Your war for your war to destroy the Jews and their grip on our entire region, our basket case, is it's interfering with our ability to like trade not just oil, other products. I don't remember exactly what that port was being, but it's upsetting our ability to do business. It's like, well, tell that to the U.S. Tell the U.S. to get the fuck out. Like, it's weird how none of these like sniveling, like ZOG compliant like states will just take the right side yeah. and take the right side. And I was like, just listen, like, why don't you reconsider your alliance with ZOG? Like, they're the problem here. We're not the problem. We're standing up for everyone. They're like, you know. It's like the biomass, yeah. like just get behind the people that are actually taking the fight to where it belongs instead of coming to them with like, can you please like stop? Can you just cool the, can you, yeah. can you just like, listen, you have some growing up to do. You're smarter than this. Right? Like how come you're still fighting? Like
you have some growing up.
You have some growing up to do. Like you're fighting against Zog. Why? It's like, well, what if you all join this side of the war? Like what would happen? Kick them all out. Kick them out of everything. Give them no quarter.
Yeah.
Like, what if every Gulf country was firing their American fucking whatever stockpiles at American warships instead of at the country that's trying to get them out of there? It's just so annoying. It reminds me so badly of right wingers and stuff. The way their alliance is in the wrong spot, and they're like, "Hey, why don't you just yeah. knuckle down and surrender with me? We could, you know, we'll just be able to just like make money under the Jew hegemony. You know, why are you trying to strike out and like stop that? We've got kind of a good thing going. We're not in charge of it, and you know, we could be tossed under the bus by it at any moment. But hey, at least there's a bus. What are you doing?
At least there's gas. There's no fuel in the bus though. Yeah. So
yeah, sometimes so the bus drives places without throwing me under it, and I just want to keep doing that. So
the Trump administration notified Israel. It is sending dozens more refueling planes to the country ahead of potential expansion of military operations against Iran. So there was a bit of a dust up with the U.S. and Israel because they were like, hey, can you send those refueling planes somewhere else? Because we want to use our airport.
Yeah.
And it's just like, no, where else are we going to send them? You don't have anywhere else for them to go. Israel doesn't have very much stuff. That's why That's why, like, Israel could be wiped out so easily. It's tiny, and it only has, like, it's like for every critical piece of infrastructure you think a country, major country needs, Israel has one. They have, like, one major airport. They have one major port. You know, like, they've got one oil refinery. Like, they, you know, just get one of each, and then they're done. But, yeah. And then Trump says he's considering, this is just bullshit. He says this is every day. And every day is reported as breaking news. Trump is considering a major escalation against Iran beyond current strikes in the Strait of Hormuz, Axios reports. Again, Axios, always on top of things. Trump is reportedly seeking to strike Iranian power plants as part of a broader operation. Well, go ahead and do it. See what happens. I mean, on some level, yeah, at some point, they won't care. Now, apparently, the Iranians did hit a Kuwaiti power plant last night, which means that now the Kuwaitis are, in fact, rationing power in their country, which is hilarious for supposedly one of the richest countries on Earth, and now they have to ration electricity.
They also hit a water plant somewhere, didn't they? I don't remember what country they hit it, some kind of desalination facility. So that, according to Professor Shang, that's the end of it. It's over now, right? Somebody hit?
Yeah. Right.
Water that has salt in it.
Well, I feel like he's, yeah.
The missiles.
Like he's like writing on that. Here's this thing. There's water in the ocean.
And it has
salt.
Salt.
But people can't drink it because of too much salt. So in order to drink it, we need to desalinate it.
Yes.
And in these countries, they have desalinization plants. Those are facilities, not plants.
Because the salt water has what plants crave, but the plant's weakness is missiles.
Yes. So Iran will shoot missiles at the plants. And
the missiles are not what plants crave.
No. So. No. So I just don't, I don't know, dude. I have no idea anymore what the hell.
I think,
you know,
I think the only place that guy still goes is like Jimmy Dore has him on. That Jang, like, is down. Like,
yeah, he kind of, that meme died fast. I wonder if it was just like everybody making fun of him, because like a lot of people started making fun of him. The man carrying thing. Making fun of Professor Zhang.
That was pretty good.
More devastating than the Professor Dave.
Man carrying thing is not going to penetrate the psyche of the rightoid biomass. So him making fun of Professor Zhang just proves what a dumb lefty, what a dumb commie that guy is, and that proves it. Like that gives panache, credibility there to Professor Zhang. He's looking.
Yeah, but it was
he's
also
being attacked by one of these fringe retards. You know? Yeah,
the impression was he kept doing like the okay.
Okay. And like he just any kept questions? Drawing dicks.
Because I'm in front of a real class, right?
Yeah, right.
I'm in front of a class with students. Does anyone have questions? No questions? Okay. I'll keep going. They drew like the. Somehow he drew like the Strait of Hormuz and like Iran. And he made like a cock and balls.
Yeah, cock and
balls.
Like, yeah,
don't.
Great.
Like, it was pretty funny. I was dying. It was good. And it was. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So. He definitely was on door. Talking about stupid, you know, Charlie Kirk conspiracies, I think.
Oh, my God.
I'm not exactly sure.
Yeah, as soon as I hear, like, there's some of these guys, these analysts, like that guy Brandon Weikert, who goes on, like, Mario Awful's show. I heard him talking, and his opinions are pretty good. He seems like a pretty good analyst, and I was listening to him. I was like, okay, now nothing that I don't already know, but he's sort of on page with my analysis. He's agreeing with it. And then I hear him say, like, yeah, and the government just won't give us answers. Like, they won't give us answers on Charlie Kirk. They didn't give us answers on the Butler assassination. And I'm like, oh, my God.
The Butler, yeah.
All the answers on these things.
That's my like, favorite God. Pretending to not have information so I can keep this thing going that they do. It's crazy.
Well, I feel like for somebody like him, he's just repeating it because it's what you say.
Well, yeah, it's what Tucker Carlson leads the charge on that, so... So you just say these things,
and he's just going to repeat it because he's never actually looked into it. I'm like, why don't you actually look into the Charlie Kirk thing yourself? Because he's not stupid. He's got way better analysis of the Middle East than Tucker Carlson does, but that's where he focuses his attention. Mm-hmm. So I guess he just says things like, yeah, we were never given answers. You were given answers. You've been given all the answers. And you're going to be given more answers about that. And it's just, now I did see, according to Too Lazy to Try, this is my window into this world.
Yes.
The Candace is losing Cloud.
Video. I think that was a
Candace is losing Cloud.
I think that was a paywall one, so you have to go to his Patreon to get it. But like, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it was called like Candace Owens is losing control of the narrative. Because there's a few people who watched the preliminary hearing stuff and were like, oh, they actually do have all this stuff and they have more because this isn't the trial. Like smart people go like, this is what they're showing in the prelim. That's not everything they have for the prosecution for the actual trial. So all these like things that internet personalities pretend are inconsistencies or open-ended questions, like they're actually not there. Like they're actually answered. Fuck. Yeah. And if you watch, I just scrolled by one before, like someone was saying they disapproved of Tyler Robinson's gamer chair. No gamer that I know sits in a cheap chair like that. It's like, wow, you cracked it. You've got that's the proof right there. He's not so retarded.
I mean, he's not really a gamer.
I game in this chair.
I know. Well, he does.
An office chair. I game in it all the time.
He did more than game though. He brought the game into real life.
The implication, like, if you're right, he did 360. Well, he scoped. He didn't no scope, but yeah, like the idea that
it's on the highest difficulty in various video games from this chair. Am I not a gamer?
There were two things where she's
I'm
like,
I'm not a gamer because I have the right chair.
This person's like, you're telling me that this guy is an incel who just chats on Discord and plays games. It's like, no, he's getting that furry dick. Like, he's not an incel. He's a fag. Like, he has a boyfriend.
Yeah, he's.
And that's the game. That's. Yeah, he probably plays video games all day. Cheeks. Yeah, like, he's not. Like, what are you talking about? Like, and what does this prove if, like, that's not an approved gamer chair? I guess they've just blown it wide open. Sorry.
Man, I could blow it wide open. Gamer chairs are a fucking grift. Those things are not comfortable. They're designed to look like. Here's my biggest issue with them. They're designed to look like a racing seat.
Yes.
And I'm like, have you retards ever actually sat in a racing seat? I have one in my car. It's not what I would call comfortable for long.
Gamer chairs are designed to look cool on stream. Right. they're not designed for comfort.
And they're designed to separate you from your money because every gaming streamer has one, and you want to be like them.
Tyler Robinson didn't
fall for that capitalist marketing
scheme.
Right,
he's just smarter than that, yeah.
But so that means
he's a normal chair.
That means he's a fed. That means he's a patsy. That means they've blown the case wide open. That's it. So that's like what those conspiracy people are relying on now. Dumb shit like that. Because the preliminary hearings kind of obliterated a lot of the things that they would talk about. So it's pretty funny. Yeah, that video was really good.
Wasn't there a video of him actually shooting Charlie Kirk? Is that
unclear?
I've heard this, and they didn't show it. Now, again,
supposedly that's an overstatement that there's like a high def video of him taking the shot. Supposedly they don't really have that. They have videos that interlink, like connect together. Like
interlink.
That, okay. Yeah, interlink. I think that's the shot.
Interlink.
But they may not actually have. I don't know.
Tyler Robinson wasn't actually way off his baseline, though. He was slightly off. but not totally off. He was close to it, but he... Just slightly off, just a little bit above and to the left. Back and to the left.
Well, it was like down to down to his right, because he hit the left side of it. Oh, whatever.
Well, I think he was probably shooting for his chest.
He was probably shooting for the chest,
yeah.
Might have been going for a headshot. You never know. Like, a headshot just feels a lot more reliable than a chest shot, you know?
But I feel like Ty Robinson wasn't playing games. Right. Like, he doesn't have a gamer chair. What he was capable of.
He doesn't have a gamer chair, so he was definitely not playing games.
He's not playing games. And also, that big white shirt that Charlie was wearing is so much of an easier target than his head. His head is big, granted, but his face, that's an impossible to hit target. Like, never, you no one could have ever hit his face. Yeah. But he wasn't, good thing you don't need a face
small,
shot.
Miss small.
But no. Yeah. No, I think he was doing the smart thing to get a kill, which was the center mass, shoot him in the chest.
Yeah. So what were you going to say about that Candace video? I kind of like cut you off to give the
The problem is, and this is actually serious. This is my problem with that stuff, and I'm glad. Obviously, we don't tell lies on this show, so even if we see like, okay, this is causing Jews a hard time, or they're mad about it, I'm not immediately going to jump on board with it because it wasn't true. And now it seems like they're scoring points. So the thing that pissed me off the most that Too Lazy to Try said is that Ben Shapiro is now making videos mocking Candace, and he's getting views on those. Now, he's not getting views on his other videos. So that's still good. But his views on the videos attacking Candace are getting a lot of views.
Yeah, he was kind of framing it as like Candace is giving all these Candace giving Zionists all these W's. She's just handing it over. I was like, I mean, kind of.
Right. I mean, I think so. Like, I think actually somewhat yes, that's not entirely wrong.
I mean, I don't think anyone's going to stop hating Israel because Candace made up a conspiracy theory about Israel killing Charlie Kirk. Like, that's...
No, but people like Ben Shapiro and such, no, they're not. But again, it's kind of an L because like it gives people that, I don't know, it's just this very prominent anti-Israel narrative has been shown to be utter bullshit, which gives them the ability to say other things and make other complaints. So yeah, I agree, but.
And that's kind of why
I don't know how much.
Yeah, that's kind of why you don't want to attach yourself to these kind of things. Like, well, at least it's making people anti-Semitic. It's like, well, there's gonna be a moment where it just runs out of road.
Yeah,
and then you're kind of
hit the fucking
and you're
wall,
like holding this bag. And you're like, well, now what? Now do I do all these people that hate Israel? It's like, well, you could have just hated Israel for good reasons, you know?
Yeah, but which for the been most part on page the whole time. The thing is, it might not help Israel, but it might very much help TPUSA.
Okay.
That's another thing, which would be bad because that helps Israel.
I don't think so. I honestly don't think TPUSA can keep going on without Charlie. Like, TPUSA is Charlie Kirk. Unless they just mean they're on campus organizing. It's like, okay, there's still going to be Republicans on college campuses, I guess, to whatever,
whoever
that means to anybody, fine.
Whatever the umbrella organization that's done under, it'll probably be TPUSA.
But there's nobody as talented and engaging as Charlie Kirk was in that company. Like these other people that like try to do, like, they're just awful. They are, what was the line in that movie, Alex? Like an awful character idea, an awful, charisma vacuum who can't read a room.
Yes. It's
like everybody else. That was from Hokum, I think. Like, that's like everybody else in TPUSA.
Yes.
Awful charisma vacuum that can't read a room.
Yes.
That's good. So anyway, let's go on. I'm going to move on to our break. We have the Merchant Minute today, but first, armreg.us.
Yes.
Here's a... is this new? Because this is volume 53, they're saying here. So if you go to armreg.us or armreg.co.uk and use the discount code TRS1 for 15% off. This says Holocaust Handbooks volume 53. Labor Camp Auschwitz.
Oh, that looks...
Monowitz, exposing the myth of the extermination through labor by Carl Montonio. I haven't seen this one before. This and being volume 53, it must be new. The Auschwitz-Monowitz camp was the Third Reich's largest and arguably most infamous forced labor camp. After the war, it became the focus of one of the Nuremberg military tribunals, the IG Farben trial. During that trial, the IG Farben management was accused of having worked their slave labor workforce systematically to death by subjecting them to horrible living conditions in the camp and unbearable working conditions at the IG Farben's chemical plants near Auschwitz. If we follow the claims by witnesses and mainstream historians, thanks for enjoying the free first half of the Daily Shoah on therightstuff.biz. You're missing half the show, and if you want to hear the rest of it and support our efforts, please navigate to therightstuff.biz/paywall, where you can sign up for a monthly, quarterly, six-monthly, or annual subscription using your credit card for instant access, cryptocurrency for almost instant access, and money orders paid by mail. We appreciate your support and thank you for listening. Historians, the death toll of this camp and its numerous satellite camps allegedly amounted to somewhere between 15,000 and 250,000 in a possibly wide range. Yeah. Wow. This is a long blurb. The present study starts with the indictment of the Farben trial and then it analyzes pivotal documents about the Monowitz camp, such as the camp's infirmary register, its register of deceased inmates, as well as multiple lists of transfers from labor camp to the Auschwitz and Birkenau concentration camps a few miles to the west. A detailed analysis of these documents in conjunction with many more supportive documents reveals the untenable propaganda nature of extermination through labor claims made by the trial's prosecution. For instance, the camp's death records prove that a total of not 100,000, not 10,000, but merely 1,651 inmates died during the entire existence of the camp. So
that was also typhus. There was because of typhus, not because of working conditions. This is the largest part of this tome contains excerpts from 129 witness accounts, mostly former civilian employees of IG Farben and its many subcontractors, but many camp inmates. They testified in detail that the living and working conditions were the best among all of the Third Reich's many camps. Inmates preferred Monowitz over any other camp. Like two out of three inmates agree. Monowitz is the best camp.
Monowitz?
Yeah.
It makes me think of the Simpsons bit. Is she trying to sell you a Monowitz?
It's like 30 Helens agree. Like 30, so yeah. Honesty is the best policy. Honesty is the best policy, yeah. And that's why you should get Armreg books, because these are honest accounts of this period of history. So yeah.
It's just funny how it's another, like, the bag of tricks is so limited. Like, oh, they just overly inflated the numbers of dead, and then there's a record of who died, like, oh, that must be, that's gotta be fake. Yeah, that's fake.
So the Holocaust Encyclopedia, which you should also buy, by the way, which you can get at either armreg.co.uk or armreg.us, is the entry of the day is Harvest Festival. Read the full entry here, and they link to the full entry. The Harvest Festival is a claimed mass assassination at camps, supposedly to celebrate the grain and produce harvest on the first Sunday of October. And they were claiming that that during the Harvest Festival, the Nazis like harvested Jew bodies or harvested Jew souls by doing a mass murder across several different camps.
Yeah, because that's what the entire war was about. They were trying to do like a grimdark, like a video game horror movie. Yeah.
Right.
It wasn't about it. There was no like national interest or anything. It was just, you know.
Yeah.
We really need to go out there on a campaign of murdering Jews. And that's why everybody joined the war against them. There were no other geopolitical, factors to the World War. It was just to stop them from murdering Jews all the time. Thank you.
The worst is, though, it claims about Camp Majdanek. Camp Majdanek, where they were saying that it was like they supposedly were killing people like at a rate of like 100 a minute or something like that.
Yeah, sure.
You can't do
very
that.
Very reasonable.
You can't do that. And people just
lined up, and
people orderly stay in line they know the line is leading to them getting shot in the head and dumped in a pit.
You'll come to your senses when you get to him, right? Yeah. When you're standing in line like in a night by Elie Wiesel. You're just in line to get pushed into a pit of burning bodies and rendered back.
You just stand in line to do that. You don't want to cause a fight.
Don't try to get away. You're just transfixed by the horror of the situation. You just let go. You just give up immediately. That one thing I know about Jews is how they give up immediately when there's an obstacle in their way that they don't like. They just slump their shoulder. They don't start yelling about anti-Semitism and how that guy's bad. No, they just give up. Like, oh, well, guess I'll just try something else.
Yep. That's what happens.
So what else do they have here? I saw the Breaking the Spell. That's a good one. The Holocaust Myth and Reality. All good shit at armreg.us. So I guess with that, we'll just move on here. That's armreg.co.uk, armreg.us for petrodollar denominated prices, armreg_official on Twitter. You can follow their updates and you can learn about new publications like this labor camp, Auschwitz, Monowitz right there. You can learn about that as they put them out if you follow them there. And you want to use the discount code TRS1 for 15% off any of your orders on those websites. And I guess with that, we'll just be back momentarily with The Merchant Minute. So stay tuned.
You are listening to The Daily SOA.